Take a moment and imagine with me a long day, a frustrating day, one of those days where you just can't wait to get home. You open the door and the smell of your favorite meal wafts through. Whether you prepared it the night before, whether family members making it, that moment where you can just smell good food and how it kind of takes everything away. That's what I love in the story. The disciples are out fishing because honestly, they're kind of lost. They've been through the crucifixion of Jesus, the burial, his resurrection, but only appearing for a moment and then disappearing, lost and confused, trying to figure out what's going on. This miraculous moment happens. Peter jumps out to see what's going on. And there's Jesus with breakfast. That's what I love about Jesus. I had a friend that used to say his favorite thing that drew him to Jesus to begin with is that every time he saw Jesus, there was food involved. Which is true. I mean, there's a scholar who actually says when you look at the book of Luke, almost always Jesus is heading to a meal, talking at a meal, or leaving a meal. It's no wonder the Pharisees get frustrated with him and call him a glutton and a drunkard, because that's what they saw him doing, eating and drinking with all these different people. And that's why I wanted to talk about it today, this idea of one of those everyday encounters is food. It's something we all have to do. You can't get around it. And Jesus knew how to take advantage of that. Jesus understood the power of food, the way it can transcend us, the way it can take us to a whole nother place by our tastes, by the smells, by the people we eat with. I think the first thing you see Jesus doing a lot is Jesus used food to start conversation. It was in his parables, but more importantly, it was his starting point for a lot of his stories and conversations. It was sitting around the table that he would say, hey, the kingdom of heaven is like a party, a banquet. He would use those moments to bring people into his kingdom. He would take the time during those moments to handle interruptions. I don't know how many of you have ever had to deal with that. You're halfway through the meal and something happens. Jesus was fine with that. Hey, let's work with that. Let's tie it into the story. And I love that because Jesus understood this. I hope y'all know this is one of the things I am big about. This is why I think it's so important for family dinner. I can remember times of sitting with my children and having these wonderful conversations. We usually have questions like, what was your favorite thing? What was your high? What was your low? How did you see God today? And we might only be there for 5 minutes and moving on because we have things to do and we're busy that day. But sometimes we find ourselves 20, 30, 40 minutes in, still sitting and talking, maybe not even with all the children, but the one who's decided to stay and keep talking. That's the joy I have with food. And it broke my heart the first time we started doing this with teenagers because I realized the power that it had. We started doing this with life groups. We would have a meal and we would purposely put tables together to circle around them because I noticed that once we started eating, they would start talking about school and stuff and then we would do a devotional afterwards, but we decided to stop leaving the table and changing it, that we just kind of went into the devotional to begin with because for some reason, sitting around a table, eating food, opened them up. And I love that. But what broke my heart the most was one day, actually it was on a trip, we had decided to bring that meal into it to help save some money so they didn't. We were in Gatlinburg, Tennessee at Winterfest. We're cramped around the small table in a little chalet having a spaghetti dinner. And it just dawned on me. I was like, hey, I'm going to just treat this like my own family. Hey, what's your favorite thing? What was your least favorite? What did you learn from, you know, the event today? And we get to this one girl, and she goes, my favorite thing is right now. She goes, this is awesome. And I was like, well, yeah, I mean, yeah, sitting around table talking, that's a fun thing to do. And she goes, my family never does this. And it broke my heart to realize, if you're not doing that, let me tell you, you're missing out. Because this is one of the most special moments you can have with your family. And if you're one that does eat alone, that's where the second thing comes in. Jesus used food to bring people together. I couldn't help, but the more and more I just thought about this, when I think of food bringing people together, I think of the school cafeteria. Because this is, I mean, food bringing people together, it can be a dangerous thing. Maybe you've dealt with that, of where are you going to sit? Who are you going to sit with when you eat? There was a meme that was pretty big for a while, it still is, of people assigning different categories to the tables of where people sit or who sits or even what movies would sit at what places. We can tend to segregate ourselves and isolate ourselves in where we sit, but Jesus used it the opposite way. Jesus used food to bring people together. And I had this whole story and other things I was going to do, and that all got thrown out the window yesterday because I was looking on YouTube and this video randomly popped up and it just spoke way more than I could do in this 2-minute video. So I want to share that with you now.
It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. Lord, we don't need another mountain. There's mountains and hillsides enough to climb. There are oceans and rivers enough to cross, enough to last until the end of time. Until the end of time.
What the world needs now is love. It's the only thing that's just too little love. What the world needs now is love, sweet love.
Oh, not just for some, but for everyone.
In such a busy world, it actually surprised me. This video is 8 years old. And it had very little attention, but yet it spoke so much to me, that idea that is something we need to break into this world. And that's what Jesus was doing. Early on, after he calls some of his disciples and calls Levi, also known as Matthew, Levi decides to hold a banquet. And it says, later, Levi held a banquet in his home with Jesus as the guest of honor. Many of Levi's fellow tax collectors and other guests also ate with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law complained bitterly to Jesus' disciples. Why do you eat and drink with such scum? Jesus answered them, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I've come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent. Jesus wasn't afraid of who he ate with. And that was a custom back then that they had to deal with. Your status was affected by who you were eating with. I mean, we see it still today. I mean, you know, that lunchroom cafeteria. Are you sitting with the cool kids or not? Did you eat with those people or not? Did you eat at that place or not? And yet Jesus did not care. He ate with the tax collectors. He ate with the sinners. He ate with the poor. He also ate with the Pharisees. Some of the famous stories that you might have in your head actually happen not around the disciples, but around the Pharisees' house as they wanted to question him and bring them in and share dinner together. And Jesus ate with all. He wasn't afraid of sitting together with others, whoever they were. But he was very clear about one thing, that when he ate with people, Jesus used the food to show grace. Jesus wanted to make sure that whoever ate with him knew that they were on the same place. There was no hierarchy. That's why I love that moment. I mean, of all the moments that Jesus could have held himself up, it's the Last Supper that he decides to wash the feet of the disciples to remind them of what it means to be together. Of the times of when it's time to show grace to the people you're with. That's why I love the reading at the beginning. I want to go back and show you this. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooking over a charcoal fire, and some bread. Bring some of the fish you've just caught, Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. Now come and have some breakfast, Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. I love this because, one, I love the smell of a charcoal grill. That's one of our go-to dinners, especially during the summer and in the fall. We love grilling. Lydia is actually the one who grills. But whatever, it doesn't matter what it is, hamburgers, hot dogs, pork, steaks, chicken, you name it, we love grilling. And it's interesting because it's a unique smell, right? I love going for walks and you can smell, ooh, someone's having something good tonight because you can just smell it on the grill. It's interesting though, Jesus is cooking on a charcoal fire, and that's a special Greek word for that. And I don't know if you know this, but it's only found one other time in all of Scripture. And it's also in the book of John. Now, how many of you, but before we get into this, how many of you, when you think of something like the smell of cookies, the smell of maybe peppermint and pine, you have certain smells that can take you back? Maybe it's cooking, you know, as a kid with your parents or your grandparents. Maybe it's the smell that brings Christmas to mind. But you know those smells that just take you back immediately. I think it's interesting that John points out a charcoal fire, something that is very distinct, because there's only one other time that that happens. And that's Peter finding himself by a charcoal fire in chapter 18 as he's denying Christ. I'm curious if Peter is already smelling and being brought back to that moment, or if it takes a little longer for him because that's who he is. But it's interesting that right after breakfast, this is where we find Peter. It says, after breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied. "You know I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Now, it's one of those things, we could go into a whole nother sermon about what happens next, of this idea of he goes back and forth three times. But you understand why Jesus is doing this. Three times he goes back and forth with Peter, "Do you love me?" As the smell of the charcoal fire is in the background after having breakfast. I don't know if it was the first time or the third time, but I'm sure by the third time, just like in chapter 18, after three times of denying him that he realized what he had done, I have to believe that after three times of telling Jesus, yes, I love you, that it finally clicked what was going on. Jesus was using this meal to make sure Peter understood the grace that he had. That even in his darkest moment, Jesus still forgave him for what he had done. I don't know about you, but I think this is the hardest one of using food because, yes, it's easy. I don't mind having a meal with someone that I don't know or maybe we're different. That's fine. I like meeting new people. But actually having a meal to spend time to break down the boundaries of someone who's hurt me, I mean, what a better time to do it than any other. I mean, grabbing a cup of coffee with someone, having a meal, I don't know what it is about that, but there's something about that that makes it a little bit harder to not love the person across the table from me in those moments. And what a best place to find forgiveness, to find grace. I think that's because ultimately Jesus used food to bring heaven to earth. That's what it was. I love that in these moments, that's what God was revealing through Jesus. He was trying to show people when he said the kingdom of heaven is near, he was saying it was right in front of them. Jesus was saying, this is what it looks like. Community coming together, talking about what that kingdom looks like, no matter who it is, loving each other at the table. I love how Isaiah talks about the banquet in heaven. He says, in Jerusalem, the Lord of heaven's armies will spread a wonderful feast for all the people of the world. It will be a delicious banquet with clear, well-aged wine and choice meat. There he will remove the cloud of gloom, the shadow of death that hangs over the earth. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away all tears, and he will remove forever all insults and mockery against his land and people. The Lord has spoken. I think we all understand. Some of you are probably thinking right now, yes, I have been to some meals that were not godly, that did not end well. Usually you probably are thinking of Thanksgiving with certain family. But the truth is, that's not what it's supposed to be. That's because we're still this side of heaven. But we can take any time to bring heaven closer by sharing meals with people. And I get it. That can be hard. That can be scary. And the truth is, that was one of the things that I was struggling with as I was trying to think of this message. It's because, honestly, I have four kids and a busy schedule. And the idea of even just trying to invite someone over to share a meal, that can be daunting. Some of us are not good at hospitality. Some of us are not very good cooks. I tell you, I love it. The teens, I loved working with teens. One of my favorite things to do with them is to ask them what their spiritual gifts is. And of course, most teenagers, their answer was, I don't know. I'm not good at anything. And you have to work it out of them. And one of the ones I learned to use the most is, do you like eating? And almost all of them say, yes. Yes, I do. To which I said, well, great. You can use the spiritual gift of eating then. And they look at me like I'm crazy. And then I point them to this stuff and remind them that something as simple as sharing a meal with them. Hey, go get Taco Bell together. Take someone you wouldn't normally take. Invite that one extra person. It doesn't have to be a big thing. Maybe it's something as simple as sharing the meal that you already have. Opening your work lunch, your school lunch, and realizing someone else didn't seem to bring anything and giving them half. Maybe it's taking somebody out to lunch that has been on your heart. Maybe it's something as simple as the next time you make cookies, you share a few extra with the neighbor across the road. But I love this because I want to end with this last story to show you how easily this can work and how powerful it can be. The story of a boy who was off to a big event, and having a wonderful mom, she packed some lunch. I don't know what was going on in her mind. Maybe she does this every day. Maybe she just felt the need to make sure he was covered for the day. So she packs a lunch for him. Knowing how boys are, he probably didn't even say thank you. Took it for granted that he had this lunch and went on his way. He finds himself at this gathering that's bigger than he thought it would be. And he's fascinated by everything he's learning. And as he's sitting there, he starts to get hungry. And as he opens his sack to start to take some of his lunch, he hears one of the people that's a part of the event he's at say, well, he says this. Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good is that with the huge crowd? I've always loved the scene of Jesus feeding the 5,000. Not because of what happens, don't get me wrong, that's an amazing story in itself. So amazing that all 4 gospels, it's one of the few miracles that makes it in all 4 gospels, it was that big to everyone. But I love it because of the boy. You can just imagine it, a hot day, crowded people, mom packed him a lunch, and he's looking around, and someone says, hey, does anyone have any food? Is anyone? And everyone's shaking their head, and here's this boy looking down at his food, looking up, looking down, you know, that idea of, I mean, it's mine. And as he's looking down, he does maybe what Andrew says. He looks down and goes, I mean, I could maybe feed a couple people with this. 5 loaves, 2 fish. If we all take one thing, that's 7 of us. Maybe we split in half, 14. And yet, what do we see Jesus do with this little offering? Jesus is able to feed over 5,000 people because of someone willing to share their meal. So don't look at this task as something that's daunting, that how can, just think, man, I love what Melanie said, of how can God be faithful with this? With this little thing that I'm giving. And watch as, who knows what could happen. Maybe the person you invite ends up being someone who ends up at this church. Maybe they completely give their life to Christ over this. Maybe it builds back a friendship that has been destroyed for the last 5 years. Who knows what can happen, but we serve a God who says, you give me what you can and watch what I do. And so I want to invite the praise team back up. And I just want to end in a prayer to pray over how God could use you this week when it comes to something as simple as sharing a meal. Will you bow with me? Father God, I am so thankful for all you do. And the truth is, sometimes food just seems like this easy thing that we come and go, something we have to do, and so we don't think about it and it becomes insignificant. But your son showed us that even something as small as a meal can have a big impact. Jesus showed us that something as simple as sharing a meal with someone like Zacchaeus, that an entire life can be changed. Hearts brought to you, the kingdom here. May you give us the courage and the wisdom to reach out to those around us and to love them. And to just see people the way you do. We love you so much. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.